Appreciate what we've got, what's gone before us. I do also believe that that was speaking of a literal heaven and a literal hell. And it's the Lord's teaching. You know, I've often thought the Lord, who has all knowledge and all wisdom, when he gave a parable or when he gave an illustration, I rest assured that it's the very best one available. Because him knowing all things, if he's going to give an illustration, don't you know he's going to give us the best illustration there is?
Right.
And so every time you read where Jesus makes an illustration or comparison or gives a parable or whatever, you can rest assured it's the best available to teach the lesson at hand.
Right.
So I appreciate the message, brother, this morning. Good message, and we may have to get you back to preach the rest of it. How noble are we this morning? We've been blessed with a lot of good sermons this weekend, a lot of good preaching, a lot of good fellowship. How noble are we this morning? Of course, if you know where I'm going with this, you know in Acts chapter 17, he speaks of the brethren at Berea who were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the word with a ready mind and they went home and searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Okay? So if we, when we hear the preaching of the word, hopefully it's familiar to us.
Yeah.
And so we show that we've already searched the scriptures and we know what the scriptures say, and that's wonderful. But if you hear something that you're not sure about, it's a good thing to go home and search the scriptures.
Right.
See if it's so. I didn't say if you don't agree with it. You know, I'm saying if you don't know if that's so or not, go home and search the scriptures. Let me touch on a few things that we heard this weekend. I don't think time would permit us to try to go through all of them. But one of the first message that we heard was on Christ being our surety. Brother Marty didn't spend, Marty Hoskins preached that for us too. The first message that we heard, he didn't go into a lot of the scriptures that define what surety is. He did kind of tell us what that is. But, you know, surety is when you've got a debt that you can't pay, or that someone else has agreed that they're going to pay your debt, perhaps even before the debt's incurred. And the scriptures tell us, warns us against being that. Okay? But bless your hearts, our Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us in scripture as our surety.
Right.
He's the one who agreed in that covenant of grace before the foundation of the world that he agreed to pay the debt we couldn't pay. And he came and he paid that debt, didn't he?
Amen.
He paid that debt with his own precious blood.
That's right. Amen.
You know, boy, years ago, I mean a long time ago, I remember hearing some kids at school talking about they didn't like to talk about, or when they went to church, they didn't like to hear about the blood. And I understand, you know, we don't want to be gory about something, but bless your hearts, when it comes to being redeemed, when the debt for our sins is paid, there's only one thing that paid that debt.
Right.
And that was the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
When we use that word precious, we're not talking about just a cute little baby. You know, we're not talking about some metal that's in short supply. What we're talking about is the blood of Jesus was unlike any other that has ever coursed through the veins of a human being.
Amen.
We're talking about that God provided a way for Jesus to be conceived in the womb of Mary, that he and that child grew, and that blood that was in the Lord Jesus Christ was free from sin.
Amen.
That's what made it precious. Because it was the only blood that could take away our sins. Our blood's polluted. It wouldn't do any good for us to shed our blood for anybody. Bless your hearts, God made a way. The book of Hebrews says that he is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. No sin about him, Peter said. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Bless your hearts, he's the one that God had set forth to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word, propitiation, but it simply means that he gave himself for us.
Right.
He was our substitute, and we needed a substitute, didn't we?
Right.
Okay, so when you go to the second message that we heard from Elder Larry Wise, he spoke about Christ being our merciful and faithful high priest that provided reconciliation. We needed reconciliation, didn't we? Reconciliation, you know, it's when two parties don't agree, that's when they need to be reconciled. And when man sinned and we fell under the condemnation of sin, then we were separated from God. And that was offensive to God. And that had to be reconciled in order for us to be, for peace to be brought back between us and God the Father.
Right.
And only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. The only one. And bless your hearts, when he was born, the very angels proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Yeah.
Peace. Well, wait a minute, preacher. There's been fightings and wars and all kinds of problems ever since Jesus was born. Well, that's true. And Jesus even said that we're going to have wars and rumors of wars as long as this world stands. You know, there's people for years talk about trying to bring world peace. Well, I applaud their effort, anybody's efforts to work for peace. But this world's never going to have peace on a global scale. The peace that Jesus brought was peace between those chosen in him before the foundation of the world, those that he came to die for, those in reconciling us to God. Peace with God is what Jesus brought, and he finished that work, and he accomplished what the Father sent him to do.
Amen.
Bless your hearts. We know that Isaiah 53 was a prophecy, but it spoke clearly of what Jesus would accomplish when he came. When he said, "He shall see of the travail of his soul," the Father looking down upon his Son as he would go to the cross, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." God was satisfied with that offering of his Son in our stead and brought peace through the blood of his cross. He brought that peace to us. Yes, he was our great high priest. And he made reconciliation for the sins of his people. After that, Elder Mike Ivey spoke of the great need for repentance. Now, I'm just going to have to just touch on the thoughts. I can't cover what they preached. We've got those messages recorded, either posted on Facebook, all except Elder Jeff Winfrey, and we've got audio recordings on CDs for anybody that wants to hear them again, and I encourage anybody to listen to them again. We're not as good a hearers or listeners as we think we are.
Yeah.
I remember one time, church I used to pastor, I took a section of a message that had been preached in the church and used it for part of the radio broadcast the next week. And a good brother come to me later, he said, "Did you say all of that? I don't remember that." Well, yeah. It was just a recording. It wasn't edited. You know, I didn't add to it. So anyway, He was our great high priest, and he made reconciliation for us by shedding his own precious blood. And bless your hearts, if God has caused us to be born of his Spirit, if he has blessed us to realize that we're sinners, what do we need to do? Repent. Well, that's what Brother Ivy came preaching after that. When we understand that we have offended God with our sins, that we come short, that we sin and come short of the glory of God, then we need to repent. And there is that initial knowledge that where we come to the understanding that we are sinners in the sight of a holy and righteous God who not only loves us, but he also judges sin. Bless your hearts. And the message of the gospel is to repent. The gospel didn't give you the light so that you know that you're a sinner, but it shines a light on the fact that we are sinners. And if we've got the Spirit of God in our heart and we can hear that message and we understand that we're a sinner, then even though that's a feeling of condemnation, it's an evidence of spiritual life.
Right.
Oh, how we need what God does for us and how we need to respond appropriately to him. And if we have been convicted of our sins, and there's the need for repentance. And there's an initial repentance that we do, but there is an ongoing need for us to repent every day, to confess our sins to God and have our conscience purged and to be able to get up and go again. You know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, now we know that Jesus accomplished that in a legal sense on the cross when he shed his precious blood. But as a matter of conscience, that's something that we need to do on a regular basis, to confess our sins, to have that conscience purged and to come to the Lord. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, we have forgiveness in the blood of Jesus, and that's forever. But as a matter of conscience, as we live each day, you know, just like, it's kind of like a spiritual bath. Have you ever taken a bath? Did it last? You had to do it again, didn't you? Well, we have to confess our sins on a regular basis. We have to take that spiritual bath and purge our conscience so that we can feel that forgiveness. And bless your hearts, faith in us, working in us. Bless your hearts. It helps us to understand that what Jesus has done for us, that's what we need. Now we needed it eternally, but we need it every day.
Amen.
I need to be reminded. And that's one of the great blessings of having a meeting like we've just had. And other ministers coming in and preaching things that the pastor hasn't touched on, maybe ever, you know. What a blessing it is to be reminded, so that we can be reminded of our need of the Lord in so many different aspects of our life.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Repentance is something that we need to lay to heart. And I'm not just saying you need to do that. You know, it's that idea of when you point a finger, there's three pointing back at you. I need it three times as much as you do. We all need to be confessing our sins to God, humbling ourselves before him. So the message that Elder Ivy preached was the great need we have of repentance. Brother Cagle spoke to us about the truth. Brother Brantley spoke about grace and peace. Oh, grace and peace. I tell you what, the longer I live, the more I appreciate the mercy of God.
Yes.
And the more I love the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, you would like to think that once we come to a knowledge of the truth, and once we confess our sins, and once we've been baptized and been a member of the church, we would like to think that our troubles are over. Bless your hearts, there's that conflict. I wish when we were when we confess our sins, when we're baptized, when we arise to walk in newness of life. And I just wish that this old flesh nature would just be totally eradicated. It would never trouble us anymore. Well, that's not been my experience. How about you? We're troubled every day. What Job say? A man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's just the way life is. But that's not all life is. When God has had mercy upon us and given us his Spirit and blessed us to hear the gospel and understand what Jesus has done for us, bless your heart, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory that's in us and that we carry it with us each day. And that's our hope.
Amen.
That what he did it for us.
Right.
And what he's done forever.
Amen.
And we'll be with him in glory, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he did for us.
Amen.
That's why we rejoice in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Brother Jeff Winfrey came then, teaching us about we're not what we could be spiritually. Do you feel like that you've... Let me ask it a different way. It's a blessing. You know, the Apostle Peter in his second epistle, he ends it by the inspiration of the Spirit telling us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I hope we have grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But have we grown as much as we could have? Have we attained to what we could have? No, we have to say that we've come short. Now, we've done a better job of it at times than others, by the mercy of God. But when we really stop and think about it, we probably, most likely, haven't grown as much as we could have.
Right.
But aren't you glad that each day that he's given us that way that we can confess our sins? And I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk about sins, it can be as subtle as just not doing something we felt like we should have done. But whatever it is, and by the way, I have learned over the years that those who are walking the closest with the Lord are quick to point out the very smallest things about themselves that they know comes short. And they feel themselves to be the chief of sinners. Well, we are sinners, but we got a great Savior. And we can go to him and we can confess our sins. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, now in Romans chapter 7, he says, O wretched man that I am. With all that Paul understood about the gospel, with all the grace that God had manifested to him, the many deliverances that Paul had, he would still say, O wretched man. Not that I was, but that I am. And yet, laying hold upon the promises that we have in God, laying hold upon what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Hebrew letter, we find that it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Yeah.
Come boldly.
Right.
Well, I don't deserve that. I'm not worthy of that. God's not looking to your worthiness. He's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted in him. Now, I'm not telling you don't have to, I'm not telling you don't need to try to be worthy. We need to try to do the best we can as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, but ultimately our acceptance is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And how much acceptance is that? How satisfied was God with Jesus offering for us?
Satisfied. 100%.
If you're satisfied, that's it. All right? You get the point. All right? Our acceptance. So he says, therefore, let us therefore come boldly. He had said, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now that's kind of hard to understand, isn't it? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched. You know what that means? It means we have a high priest who can be touched. What he was doing was making a contrast between the Old Testament and the priests that they had in that day. And that priest in that day, he could do a little bit. He might know a little bit about your case, but he wasn't really inwardly touched by it because he was just limited by what he might know about the situation. That's not the case with our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He intimately knows everything about us. And so he's touched, not with the words that we can convey in prayer to try to inform him about what our situation is. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, in spirit, he knows exactly what it is. We don't even have to frame the words to express our desires to God. He can discern the very thoughts and the intents of our heart.
Amen.
Psalm 139 says, there's not a word in our tongue, but lo, he knows it altogether. Mm-hmm. I've shared with you in the past, a brother back home when I was growing up, he'd be called upon to pray sometime, and he'd get on his knees, and all he would do is groan and cry. He might say our Father, but he was never capable of actually wording a prayer. Well, I'm going to trust that he was sincere. God knew exactly what he was saying. He did. All right, so we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Our boldness is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm just going to close with this thought today. Find grace to help in time of need. I've shared this with you before, but there's some folks here that probably hadn't heard it. But there's that word grace to help, or that expression grace to help, the word help there. There's one other place in the New Testament where that word in the original language appears. Help. And it's actually the word that appears over in Acts. What is it, Acts 27? The great storm and the shipwreck. When Paul was being carried as a prisoner to Rome, and there was a great storm, Euroclodon, that brewed, and it was a storm that they didn't see the sun by day or the stars by night for, 14 days? I mean, that's a tremendous storm. And they were so afraid that the ship was not going to make it, and so they cast the cargo overboard, and they used helps. H-E-L-P-S, helps. They used helps to wrap around the bow of the ship to try to hold it together as the ship was being tossed on the waves and lifted up and crashing down, lifting up and crashing. They were trying to do what they could to keep it from falling apart. They used helps. Now go back to Hebrews. It's the same word. In Hebrews, he says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's God's grace that holds us together.
Amen.
It's God's grace that keeps us from falling apart when the storms of life are raging. Bless your hearts as we think about it. We need that help, don't we?
Amen.
We need, whether you realize it or not, you need that help every day. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We know we're sinners. God, by his grace, has blessed us to know that we're a sinner, but we have a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who's made a reconciliation for us by offering his own body and shedding his own blood to pay our sin debt. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Now what John said, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He shows mercy. We have forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. And so he purges our conscience. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help. It was by grace that he sent his son. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't deserve it. Never will deserve it. That's what grace is all about. Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. So as we think about grace to help, it's grace that we need every day. But we have it, and we can have it more abundantly.
Yes.
In our Lord and Savior. James talks about draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you.
Right.
James also says he giveth more grace. You need grace? I do. Think you'll need more grace tomorrow?
Yes.
How about the next day?
Yeah.
I mean, when are you not going to need any more grace? I guess when we're raised and fashioned like in his glorious body and taken home to be with him.
Amen.
That's what grace is all about. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus did. That's what he's done for us. That's why we praise his holy name and give thanks and praise unto God every day for all that he's done for us. That's my motivation for wanting to do what this book says. That's my motivation to show grace to others, because that's what God's done for us. There's nowhere to quit, but we're going to have to. May God help us. I hope you'll take some time and review. And maybe another time we'll talk about more of some of what we've heard, just to stir your mind, just in case you don't take time to listen to some of these messages. But may God help us to thank him for the blessing we've enjoyed this weekend, for the grace that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, for this rich word that we have that we need to avail ourselves to every day, to get our daily bread, and may we live to his glory.
Amen.
I like the expression that we enter to worship and we depart to serve.
Yeah.
I hope I've stirred you up this morning a little bit more than what we've been stirred all weekend, so that we can depart from here to serve one another and to be a light that would be shining bright, that others would see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. May God bless you, is our prayer.